This episode is sponsored by Kiprun and their brand new super shoe, the KD900X LD, which Shoe Geek Me got to go out to their campus in Lille to test.
Yeah, so explain what you did over in Lille and how much faster were you in the shoes?
So I tested it against a regular shoe, non-carbon plated, and their previous version of the super shoe, the KD900X. This one's 10% lighter, has a brand new foam and feels much more responsive. And I was over 8% more economical compared to a non-plated shoe, which is mind-blowing.
Absolutely phenomenal, because every little helps in a marathon, but it's not just little old you that's tested the shoe, is it?
No, thankfully it's not just me. They've been tested by some of the best athletes in the world. So Maline Roland, the French record holder in the women's marathon, set her record in these shoes earlier in 2024, running 2:24, which is pretty fast.
Incredible. And they are available now. So if you want to go check them out, head to decathlon.com. They're also available in Decathlon stores worldwide. This episode is sponsored by us. We've hijacked it again.
Yes, we love doing this. We've teased this for a couple of months. Unbearably, we've had a few emails about it, but we can now tell you all about it. We've teamed up with Sports Tours International to give you the chance to come and run with us at the Malaga Marathon and Half Marathon on the 15th of December this
year. Yes, last year you ran your first ever marathon, and only a few of us got to witness the pain of that in real life. But this year, you can come and run the marathon, the half, and we're going to try and get Rick signed up to the half marathon too.
That's going to be the hardest job here. There are limited spots, but we have sorted it out with Sports Tours International. So they'll handle all of the tricky bits, the logistics and the bookings and so on. And you get 3 nights in a 4-star hotel, which is really exciting. But they'll look after you. They're the experts at doing this, which is why we've teamed up with them. So basically, if you'd like to come and get a little bit of winter sun, training for a marathon that time of year, I really liked. And this is very close to Valencia, so I'm essentially guaranteeing the weather.
Yeah, I'm not sure we can quite do that. But if you want a shakeout run, an excellent race, an after party and a live podcast recording, then grab your spot now. Head to the link in the show notes to find out more. Or go to trc.social/Malaga.
This is the Running Channel podcast with me, Andy Badley, and these two idiots, Rick Kelsey and Sarah Hartley. And today we're going to be talking about preconceptions and common stereotypes, like the fact that they're both idiots.
Preconceptions? Do you mean misconceptions?
Oh, yeah.
Or is that a misconception that you can read?
Clearly.
Clearly.
Incredible.
Well, I feel really honoured and delighted to be back.
Yeah,
with
we missed you,
two idiots. Yeah,
I hadn't noticed that you weren't here.
Brilliant.
I did.
Well, I've actually got something to say about that, so let's play the music and get into it. So I wasn't here last week.
No, you weren't.
Which, obviously, no one noticed. Especially the people who listen and watch to this.
We'd upgraded.
Yeah,
Jess,
we have upgraded.
We talked about her 10K experience.
Yeah, and it was, I was in the room, I listened to it, I heard it back. Great episode, loved having Jess on. However, some people loved having Jess on a little bit too much.
I knew there was a bot coming here.
Yeah. Are you upset by this, Sarah?
Well, no. So, you know, when our videos go live or when our podcasts go out, I welcome audience feedback. We love it. Email in podcast@therunningchannel.com. I especially enjoyed the comments on YouTube that came in. And my favourite one was from someone who said, "Personally, I much prefer having Jess on the show. It's just a more professional, serious and adult vibe." So based off of that, I've taken that on board. I've taken the feedback
on board.
So
you're going to be more professional, serious adult today.
So here is
Rick Kelsey how to do that?
I thought it was going to be a punchline to that.
No. So no, I've created a serious segment.
Right, okay.
Oh, so did anyone, because on YouTube you can, if you can kind of essentially upvote a comment that you agree with. Did anyone agree with that comment?
41.
Oh, no way.
No, I don't think it was that many. It was. Anyway, so here's
441.
So as requested by popular demand, here is my serious segment.
Okay, right.
First part. What type of runner do we think Sirius Black from Harry Potter was?
Sirius Black?
Yeah.
Or Sirius Black?
Sirius.
Hey, look, we're having to play fast and loose with the word serious here. I didn't have much time for this one.
Oh, right, sorry. Oh, this is a pun. It's a pun-based round. Okay.
Yeah, it's a pun-based round. What type of runner do you think they were?
Is Sirius Black? Well, I mean, he's like a run on all fours. He's like a... He was a dog, wasn't he?
Yeah, so I was thinking like cross country would probably be his first.
Cross country, Canny cross.
Yeah,
yes. There you go.
Very good.
Very nice. Okay, the second segment. I seriously want to know.
God. Okay. I'm so sorry, everybody.
I seriously want to know. Was the last podcast that went out longer than your nighttime skincare regime or shorter?
Oh, is this like higher or lower?
Well, on the basis, I think the last podcast would have been 37 minutes.
Yeah.
So that would be 6 minutes longer than my nighttime skincare regime.
Really? Every night?
You do have
not every night. If it's really late in, or I can't remember going to bed.
Right.
Yeah.
Can't remember. And wow. Then final part of the serious segment.
Yeah.
A dilemma for you.
Okay. Is this a would you rather?
Yeah.
Can't wait.
If you're in a serious relationship and the person says to you, I don't want to run with you.
Do you really want to go here?
Should you take it seriously? Would you persuade them to run with you? Or do you just accept that they don't want to run with you and you should leave it?
Yeah, I don't want to run with you, Sarah. That's
good because we're not in a serious relationship.
Oh, has it not been? It's been serious for me.
Well, apparently I'm not a very serious person. So
okay,
that's
right,
what.
Yeah.
I'd drag him along.
Oh, would no, you? I'd be straight in, like, okay, fine.
Done, move on.
Yeah.
Me
next.
Time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there concedes my serious segment.
Well done.
Back to the silliness.
Well, excellent. Good to be back. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good weeks running, Andy?
I have. I'm going to try and squeeze in a run after this sometime this afternoon. I was asking everyone around the office as to whether there's somewhere I can do hill reps. That's what's on my plan today.
Have you found a hill?
Well, I found somewhere that's not flat.
Nice.
Whether it qualifies
usually
as
a hill.
Well, whether it's enough of a hill remains to be seen.
The thing in London. I feel like everyone knows the hills.
But I only need to do a 30-second series of 30-second efforts up an incline of some kind. So, but my running's been good.
What's that for? Sorry, what
for speed? So I'm gonna do 16 times 30 seconds up a hill.
Is this part of a training plan?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So this
training for 5K.
Yeah, only a few more weeks now until I'm going to do this first 5K to see where I'm at. So I'm excited. It's different kind of soreness that I've been getting compared to marathon training. Marathon is that kind of deep bone tiredness, I suppose. Mm. Whereas the 5K training is back to that kind of fresh DOMS, I suppose.
Mm. Yeah.
From really trying to work hard and go fast.
Does it feel more manageable than marathon training? Kind of the same.
It's definitely more in my wheelhouse. Like it's a reminder of all the stuff I used to do, albeit slower. I'm finding it mentally easier to get out and do it than having to prepare to be out for a couple of hours for marathon training was quite different. Mm. I'm finding this easier to squeeze in. So
get out for 20 minutes. Knock
done.
It off. Done.
Oh, it's a bit,
run up
a bit
hill.
Longer than 20 minutes. But yeah, I've been getting good mileage in, I'm enjoying it. And the weather helps so much. Just I feel like I can almost like roll out the door into that warmth, which
is
nice.
See, controversially, I think it's a bit too hot for running.
It's not even, it's like 20 degrees.
20 degrees.
That's a bit much for me.
I'd say that's almost perfect running conditions. I'm
a 16
degree. Just get up early and get up and do it.
Yeah.
Don't really enjoy doing that either. No, it's just a bit warm. How's your running been?
Really good, actually. So there were a couple of Aston Villa footballers a few years back called Olaf Melberg and Paul McGrath.
How is this related to running? Yeah.
And these...
I weirdly know how this is related.
And, these players, especially McGrath, he was known for basically being unable to train. So any contact in the training during the week. So he'd do running, he'd do strength work, but on the Saturday, just basically turn up at 3 o'clock and just go all out on tackles.
Mm.
I feel like my running is a little bit like that at the moment. I'm training super hard. And when I say cross training super hard, I mean, I'm doing lots of work on the bike and it's helping my running speed. So I'm doing maybe 4 sessions a week, mixture of strength and conditioning and cycling. So speed work, hill work on the bike, sprint work on the bikes. But actually only running or racing once a week and then on a Saturday. So
because you're in that analogy, you're not able to do as much running as you would like. So you're having to replace that with other stuff and then enjoy the 1 or 2 runs a week that you can.
Yeah, and you know what, I'm really enjoying...
Is it just the training where you feel like you're a Premier League footballer or are there similarities
in the
performance? It's the performance on a Saturday. It's
the performance on a Saturday. Skincare regime. Inability to turn up on time.
Rick was late today.
Sorry, but seriously though.
Brilliant. Sorry. So is that going to be a thing every time? If we have any fun on today's podcast, you're like, no, we've got
guys,
to be serious.
Sorry, yeah, let's get down to business.
Adult podcast.
Nice.
So how's the Saturday game day going?
Well, consistently actually pretty well. I feel, and I was thinking about this on the way in, I feel like I'm probably enjoying my running more than I've ever done before.
Nice. And what do you think is contributing to that?
Being ready for when I do get out and knowing that I'm in a decent shape to actually run for a competitive time.
Nice.
So being kind of like near the peak of your game where you want to be. And, you know, if I'm going for a 10K PB in a couple of months' time, you know, this is the kind of space that, you know, I need to be in, where I'm doing that aerobic work in the week so my body can actually take it when I'm doing the races. And yeah, so I feel like I'm in a good place.
Oh, nice. Sarah, how's your running mojo?
Comparatively, I'm a little bit injured and a little bit unmotivated.
Oh, really?
So just to bring the
tone. There's always
down.
One of us, though.
Yeah, there's always, it's that, my turn.
So on that, that was always the magic for me of my training group. There's always a day or a week you'd show up in a group of three or four good friends that you're training with all the time. And it's the job of the others in that group to lift the person up who's having a bad day.
Mm.
So that's our job on the podcast when your mojo is down.
To get you
back in the game, yeah, by telling you that the person we subbed in for you on last week's podcast was better than you and other people preferred them.
according to 41 likes.
Yeah, but other than that...
I hate you both, but yeah, no, it is... So I realised that So I took a week off after the marathon, then I came back into doing some running and actually didn't run alone for a couple of weeks. And then unfortunately, I've picked up a little bit of a like niggle in my Achilles. So it's just been no fast running, just easy running as much as I can, like managing the pain, and a lot of rehab exercises. I've never understood the word eccentric more.
Oh, well, how do you understand the word eccentric now?
Oh, God. That's when you lower down rather than concentric.
It's when
is
the muscle's
right?
contracting but lengthening.
Yeah.
So is that, if you're doing a leg curl, is that when you go up and eccentric is coming back?
Well, it depends on what muscles you're talking about. So if your leg is bent and you straighten the knee,
yeah,
then if your leg is bent like we're sitting, yeah, and you're straightening your leg out in front of you,
yeah,
then you're... quads are contracting concentrically because they're shortening, and your hamstring is controlling that movement a little bit eccentrically.
Elongate eccentric.
Yeah, your hamstring is lengthening there.
Right. A lot of people have been talking to me on the S&C work recently about getting in the last 5%, which nobody does in the S&C world.
Yeah.
Well, which is massive when it comes to an injury reduction. There's quite a lot of work being done on this recently.
Yeah, last 5% of range of motion.
Yeah. So... and the physio was really pushing me on this last week. So we all go and do our S&C and say we're doing, you know, single leg press or whatever. Just as an example.
As an example.
Now, we often talk, like me and Andy talk about like not going completely flat leg just in case you lock your knee.
Yeah.
But most people will miss out the last 5%, but it's the last 5% which are like some of the key margins, especially on injury reduction.
But you do need to be careful because if you are going to go to the last 5% of any movement, then you might need to drop the weight down a fair bit just to get the confidence that you've got of taking your leg fully strength. Like if you're doing prone hamstring curls or something like that, to let your knee go straight and then pull it back again.
Yeah.
That's most, like for the reasons you're saying, a lot of people are weak in that final 5%.
But you feel it
when
you're working that last 5% afterwards enormously. I didn't even realize I was missing out on it, to be honest with you. Because everyone just thinks they're going all the way. Mm. Then when you actually do it properly and someone shows you, then the next day you feel it. But anyway, I'm a runner. Of course I.
Oh, excellent
segue.
That's
what we're talking about today.
So yeah, today we're using this phrase. It was a thing on, which you guys probably missed on social media. Yeah, brilliant. People were saying.
Is this the thing you telegrammed to me?
Yeah. I sent it over via your pigeon.
I'm a runner, comma, of course I. Stop.
Yep. Yes. So people, you essentially finished that sentence. And I thought this was a perfect opportunity to go through some of the running stereotypes, some of the things. So if you're watching or listening to this, finish this sentence. I'm a runner, of course I. And we're going to do some of our own. Do you want to get started, Rick?
Yeah. Well, this was an interesting WhatsApp session between the three of us.
Well, it was mainly you. You had about 100 of these.
It was kind of Rick having a conversation with himself. Yeah. Me and Andy going like, okay, mate, that's enough.
I think we got this covered.
You know when you hit the right note?
Yeah. It was when you just started spamming us with I'm a runner. Of course I recognize Rick Kelsey from the Running Channel. I was like, I was like, come on, mate. This is not, you know.
I'm a runner. Of course I listen to Rick Kelsey's skincare tip.
Anyway, do you know about that serious note that we were required to give?
Sorry.
So this is the bit I'm going to do now.
Yeah,
well,
great.
I'm a runner. Of course I have a gel to run for a bus.
No, you don't, you idiot.
Do you?
I think I did once, but it was a long run. And I was going for a run afterwards. You know where we were going? You and I were going to Battersea to do run Wings for Life.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the charity run.
Yeah, and it's not near any station. So I basically ran there and they ended up you know, get your boss one stop.
I don't know if that fits into the category of like common runner stereotypes. But yeah, maybe a gel.
You have a gel.
A gel has like a general like piece of nutrition during the day.
Also, do you find like once you've had gels, just,
even if you're not running,
yeah, just like right now, I need to have five gels just before this podcast.
How many gels have you got in your house? Loads.
I've got a box full. Yeah,
so many. Yeah,
I've some been there. I've some been there for years. Where do you keep them?
I did have to go through them the other day.
In the kitchen. Is that weird?
No, I'd keep them in the kitchen. Where else? You can't put them under the bed.
But in what?
Yeah, but I just
do they have their own box?
Yeah, they have their own box. They have their own box.
Well, ours go in the sweet box, which the kids go into.
Gosh.
So they
kids
always
on
sit in
gels.
The bottom.
Nightmare.
But then, like Andy says, you have to go to the bottom of them and find the ones which maybe have passed their use-by date.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't run for 2 years. So
were they all out?
During...
Did you not?
serious knee surgery
yeah
so at the end of like the end of 22 kind of like that was from pre-pandemic.
Wow.
Do you reckon you've got enough gels in your house to give one child one each? Or do you reckon you'd have to do a bulk buy?
That's quite good.
We're doing for party bags just to leave the house. No, I've got one. I'm a runner. Yeah. Of course, I look longingly at fields, trails, and cricket pitches when I go past them, thinking, oh, that'll be perfect for a work. When you see that beautiful cut grass, and you're like, oh,
cricket
that'll
pitches.
Be...
Does anyone else?
I used to do reps and stuff around the outside of outfields of cricket pitches.
What about when you're on a plane? What do you look out for out the window?
Sports stadiums.
Yes, me too. Running tracks. If I'm flying into somewhere and I'm staying really close to the airport, I'm like, there it is.
Sports stadium.
I'm going to go there.
You know, Colin Jackson, who we had on TRC Mates a couple of weeks ago, was actually talking about how when he's on a plane, he also looks for sports stadiums. But for him, he looks about whether or not he's ran at that stadium.
Oh, yeah. That's a flex.
We're just spotting them. Yeah. Sarah.
I'm a runner. Of course I show off my calves in November.
Yes. Yes.
I feel like this is a...
Have you ever caught yourself flexing your calves just to see the definition in like a shop?
Yeah.
A shop mirror.
Well, I feel like there are some people who are like, oh, I hate it. Like, I don't want to have big calves. I love it. When I was a kid, I feel like it's more cyclists that build out
calf muscles.
But like when I was a kid, I was like, that's what I want. But yeah, I feel like there's two types of people in the world. Those who wear like running tights or running leggings all year round and those who wear running shorts all year round. Which one are you?
Shorts.
I'm a shorts.
I'd be shorts as well.
Yeah. No, I feel like you're a cold person.
Yeah, but I don't run in...
Did you say you feel like he's a cold
person? Weirdly,
you're not cold-hearted. I mean, right, you're that too. Yeah.
I can be cold-hearted if you want me to. did that just get a bit weird? Okay. The
sorry, well, you're going to say...
I was thinking about the serious relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Would you rather have a compliment about your calves or your face?
Oh!
Good question. Well, I get both all of the time. So...
from who?
Hey, just because we're on camera now, Sarah, don't pretend it's... don't pretend it's...
Oh, is this a good moment to talk about your T-shirt? So I gave Andy a compliment on the T-shirt that he's wearing today, which, for audio listeners, says Progress Running Club since 1998, which I depressed him by telling him that that's the year I was born.
Yeah, absolutely disgusting. That's the year I took my GCSEs.
Is it?
Yeah.
God, you're really old.
Yes, I am. I had to chisel them into...
Were they even GCSEs
rock.
Or were they not O levels?
Oh, brilliant. No, they were GCSEs, yeah.
Were they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that changed in the
90s. Well, I don't get into the academic stuff again because Rick gets really kind of like upset.
GCSEs went fine, just A levels went a bit skew whiff, as they say in the north. Anyway, I'm a runner. Of course, I don't know how to work my watch.
Oh, is this just a you
I
one,
think most
though?
Of these aren't, I'm a runner. This is, I'm Rick Kelsey.
Have
of course I am incompetent.
Have you found any new watch features that you're enjoying recently?
I don't think most people know all the things that are on their watch.
No, I think you're right. It dramatically underused the features that are available to you.
Do you want
to
know, actually...
Especially like recovery status. Like, what?
Okay, what is...
HRV is balanced. My acute load is low. What? I mean, what? Am I not been carrying stuff?
Sarah and I understand that.
Yeah, we understand that.
Load.
No, can I ask you a watch question?
Go on.
What does an altimeter do?
An altimeter? I think that's...
I think that
it tells you the height you are above sea level.
Yeah, that's right.
That is right. Sorry, I just wanted you to stop after. I think that tells you the height you are. You just looked down at your watch. You are... 6 foot.
Yeah, so your training status, recovery, yeah. Your VO2 max is steady. Nobody knows what that means. Your HRV is balanced. Nobody knows what that means.
We've got a video on that.
Your acute load. What is low?
Well, I mean, it's just because you're lazy.
It's not. I'm the antithesis of HRV high, whatever that is.
Oh, is it really high? Well,
we always say no acronyms. HRV is heart rate variability. So mm-hmm. that is the variation in the gaps between successive heartbeats. And a high heart rate variability, higher than your
baseline.
Yeah, generally means you're trending towards less stressed and more healthy. And then if you happen to have an unbalanced or really low heart rate variability, i.e. your heartbeats become more consistent in the time between them, it's kind of counterintuitive. That actually means you're more likely to be dealing with stress or be a little bit under the weather. So heart rate, HRV is a good gauge of your general levels of recovery. And then all of the stuff that feeds into recovery time and readiness to train and things like that is often based on HRV.
Is your HRV balanced?
Well, I wouldn't know how to find that out.
It's genuinely like, should we pop round to Granddad Rick?
Oh no, it is balanced. It is balanced.
It is balanced.
But you're one of the least stressed people I know, because you get people to help
you're in the hot tub. You got your skincare regime. Yeah, you're going to see a band this weekend that you told me about.
I like my pleasures in life. I like life's pleasures. Excellent balance.
Really good.
But then there's another one on the watch that says stress levels. So that's not related to HRV.
I feel like you're quite stressed. When you don't need to be. Is that savage? I just feel like you're like...
I'll tell you one thing that really...
Running from the bus, a bit stressed. Going to have a quick gel.
One thing
that... sort myself out.
One thing that really stresses Rick out is when people who love the podcast, which is lovely, write into us or write into Rick directly to complain about any potential sound quality issues. We're in a new studio, so bear with us.
Should we have a little like, sorry, guys, I wasn't here, so I couldn't...
I mean, you were producing it, so technically it's
your... Yeah, that was my fault. But look... This week, it sounds a little bit better. And next week, it'll sound even better.
We've done a lot of soundproofing.
We don't want to do it all in one go, you know? We want to show you what it's like to not have good sound and then incrementally make it better again.
Yeah, so if it does sound a little bit different, we're in a new space. We're also continuing to move things around, set up the cameras, decorate the space, so it'll look different each week. It's exciting
Andy's
for us.
Andy's got a lovely bit of wood paneling behind him.
Which is helping my voice, but maybe not Andy's behind me.
Yeah, it doesn't help me unless I turn around and shout at it.
A little wood wall as well. Yeah.
Super.
Should we do another one?
Yes, please.
I'm a runner. Of course I search for the local park run when on holiday.
So true.
I've got a related one to this, but we'll touch on this.
Do you two do that?
Yeah, 100%.
I do every time.
And then hope that it's within running distance of wherever I'm staying. And then when it's not, I have to make a call on whether it's worth it.
So also usually the only reason that I use Facebook, because that's usually the like, if it's going to be cancelled, that's where it's posted. Yeah. So then I'm like, right, dust off Facebook quickly, find the relevant park run page. Yeah.
Well, and then related to that, I'd written down, I'm a runner. Of course I get annoyed that anything that anybody plans before 10 a.m. on a Sunday.
On a Sunday, over long run.
It's kind of similar on a Saturday for park run. Yeah. But yeah, because I want to do my long run. I want to get it in around sensible things. And then when one of my like kids' sporting activities is at 9 a.m. on a Sunday, I'm like, that's a really early start
How
for me to get.
Yeah.
Inconsiderate. Do your running.
Surely there's a booking every hour for you at weekends.
Oh my goodness, you're not far
through
off.
Through the night.
You're not far off.
Yeah, swimming, 4 a.m.
Child E, 5 a.m. They've had to go to two letters now. Child EF.
Oh, like when you have to add extra columns on Excel.
Yeah.
You go out
EF1, 2BC.
So we do have cricket, swimming, netball, football several times a week, multiple different children swimming.
Oh my God, that's exhausting.
French club.
Does it ever, piano lessons.
Does it ever annoy you
when you're watching? Because I feel like this is how I know I'm not ready to have kids. If my kids were going to like football, swimming, netball, whatever it is, I would be stood on the sidelines silently raging that I'm not the one that gets to do sport. And that's how I know I'm not mature enough yet.
Yeah, I've been watching the netball's one of the ones where I watch it at the Commonwealth Games and things like that, but I'm not as on top of the rules as...
Have you ever played netball?
I played as a like primary school age kid. We played netball, yeah.
Fair.
I preferred bench ball, if I'm honest, if anyone remembers that.
Oh, no, is that no like idea. Volleyball, but you get to stand on a bench and just lob it?
No, it's like instead of having a net at the end of the court on each end, you have a bench and then one kid stands on it and that kid is essentially the net and you have to throw it to that.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
It was something they did in the 50s, Sarah. I don't know.
Was that before they invented nets?
It was just before we did calisthenics.
Blank face.
That's plyometrics and like gym workouts and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that's cool now. That's like muscle ups and stuff.
Yes, it is. But that's what they used to call physical activity, wasn't it?
Oh, right. I wouldn't know. I'm born in 1998.
Brilliant. Thanks.
I know I'm a runner. I spend half my wages on race tips.
Race tips?
What did I say?
You said tips.
Race tips.
Yeah, I mean, I can give you some race tips for free.
I always tip the race director. I always just whack a fiver in his top pocket.
Oh, I've become a race director. Yeah. That was the phrase to go. Yeah, race trips. Oh,
yeah. Dip.
I've started doing this now as well, though, where I'm like, okay, I want to do a half marathon. Right, where do I want to do it? Oh, Copenhagen. That sounds lovely. And then I go to book the trip and it's sold out. I feel like so many races are coming so booked up.
You know what I found? Because one of my favorite races is actually the Kew Gardens 10K. I've done it like quite a few years on the run.
Nice.
Sold out.
Yeah.
It's in September.
Running, look, so everyone that. Listening to this, running's becoming a little bit too popular.
And whilst
you may think that's great for us,
I feel like
calm
back
down.
I think anyone listening to the Running Channel podcast, though, they should be like, you know when people say they have they had a favourite band and then they get a bit annoyed because it gets too cool.
And then it gets cool.
Yeah. But anyone that's been involved with the Running Channel podcast or listens to it now should be like, I'm in with
We're in the cool group.
Yeah. The original crowd.
Yeah, I don't think the bands usually label themselves as the cool crowd, but hey.
Well, I mean, there's a first time for everything.
There is.
One more.
Oh, Andy, have you got one?
I mean, I was going to sign off with, I'm a runner. Of course I go sock, sock, shoe, shoe.
Oh, yes.
Good. Yeah.
And anyone who is listening, who is sock, shoe, stop now.
Stop listening. Do you mean stop listening or stop doing it?
Both. Go away. Wow. Pause. Click pause. Take off your socks and shoes, put them on sock, shoe, embrace the new way of life that you will have to lead.
Who did we meet who was sock, shoe?
Well, we did a fireside chat of about 200 or 300 people the other week for London Marathon.
Yes.
And we asked for a show of hands to start with. And one very brave person did say they did sock, shoe.
One person, wasn't it?
I feel like it's a very different lifestyle that you lead if you're sock, shoe. Like your floors are pristine.
I know, I think it's the opposite. Interesting, the people I've seen who said they do sock, shoe, was... is because they might have a pet, so there's like dog hair on the floor. So they brush off one foot, put the sock on, put it straight into the shoe so they don't get dog hair on the bottom of it, and then do the same on the other foot. And I actually kind of, I'm still not on board with it, but I can understand it.
Well, that was fun.
That was good. We should do some more of that. Email in podcast@therunningchannel.com if you have any others, or if there's any other similar things that you want to cover us to cover in a future episode. Shall we talk about the news?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Don't forget, this episode is sponsored by Kiprun and their brand new KD900X LD shoes. Now, fun fact, Andy, do you know what Kiprun stands for?
Is this a fun fact?
It is a fun fact. Kiprun is a contraction of keep on running.
Oh, I did know that. Mainly because you told me just before we started recording this and you're very, very excited
about
it.
Hey, I love a fun fact, but what are you excited about?
I'm excited about the fact that Kiprun have this incredible research and development facility in Lille, which I got to go to. I was in shoe geek heaven. I tested the shoes. They genuinely did feel faster. And then the data did bear that out. I was 8% more economical. So I used 8% less energy to run at a set marathon pace in these shoes compared to regular running shoes.
Yeah, you really do forget how much work goes into getting a shoe from the design process to being available to buy. And if you want to buy these, head to decathlon.com, or they're also available in Decathlon stores worldwide.
Don't forget, you can come and run with us at the Malaga Half Marathon and Marathon in December this year. We'd love to have you come and join us.
Oh, it's going to be so good. And there are so many of us coming out there. So you might be able to run alongside us as well. I don't know what I'm doing there yet. Do you want a pacing? Let me know.
Yeah, if you want Sarah to pace you to a half or a full marathon, or if you want Rick to get involved.
No. Sarah will not be pacing you to a full marathon. Sarah will be pacing you to a half marathon.
Sign up now and we can make this happen. This is what we need. But you get to have lots of fun with us. 3 nights in Malaga, all sorted out by Sports Tours International. If you want to join us, places are limited. So as quick as you can, head to the link in the show notes or to trc.social/Malaga. The website has all of the details of the costs involved, so you can take a look at the different options. Flights aren't included, but this isn't a money-making exercise for the Running Channel. It's a chance to take everyone out to Spain for an amazing experience, and the cost is what it costs for the hotel and for Sports Tours to organise it all. Rick's looking very pensive. You're very thoughtful. I'm actually just enjoying the fact that I can actually smell
the wood.
The wood. It smells really nice.
Oh my God, what is it with you? Stop and look at a field. Hey, turn around mid-podcast and smell the wood behind you.
It's a sensory experience in my life.
For you.
Yeah. I have to escape from the children where generally the smells are not quite so nice as fresh cut wood.
Brilliant. Okay.
News. Yeah. What have you got?
Oh, can I talk about one?
Yeah.
World record attempt. As if you're listening to this, as it comes out on Saturday the something of May, we are recording this on Wednesday the 15th of May, and Imo Body has just set off on a world record attempt to be the fastest person to run all of the three peaks and run in between them.
Oh, wow.
So the previous record was set by Anne Sayers.
The three peaks?
Yeah, in the UK.
In the UK.
So Ben Nevis, Scarfell Pike,
and Snowden.
Snowden. Yep. Or Iriri.
Big deep breath.
Yes.
Deep breath. Yeah, so she has set off. Some of the things that I love is that in order for the record to stand, she has to start off with her hand in the sea in Scotland. And then after she's run everything, she then puts her hand in the sea in Wales. But her training has been absolutely incredible. I've been following it, and best of luck from all of us.
Oh, that's tough. It's going to be amazing. I think it would be more satisfying in a challenge like that to finish at a peak. Clearly you've got to
come
back
down. Well,
that
was the interesting thing is that loads of people were asking during her training. They were like, you're doing a lot of running in London considering you're taking on three peaks. But she was like, well, yeah, for this challenge, actually the majority of it is running on roads. Which is interesting when you've got a bit of a hybrid challenge.
Done those roads around Snowden. It's a long way to the sea from the top of Snowden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a news story as well. Mm-hmm. A 17-year-old English track runner, so I'm going to bring things back to track as we head into Olympic season, called Phoebe Gill from St Albans, ran a race in Belfast. And she's 17, which is staggering that she's competing at this level. She ran 157.86, I think, for 800 metres, which broke a 45-year-old under-18 European record, which was previously set by an East German athlete 45 years ago.
That's amazing.
So what's that? I can't do the maths. Divided by two per lap.
So just under 59 seconds per lap. But it also puts us second in the senior world rankings this year so far. It is early in the season. But at the same time, that's an Olympic qualifier, age 17. And then bear in mind, we also have Keely Hodgkinson and Gemma Reekie in the UK, who will be already won global medals for 800 metres. It's amazing that in women's 800 in Great Britain, we've got these incredible athletes. So
I do love it as well. Like from the Olympics in London, I remember the thing that I got most excited about is when your home team has incredible standout people. So if you think of it was heptathlon with Jessica Rennis.
Yeah.
That's the kind of real standout moment.
1500 metres with Andy Bedley.
Oh, no, you did compete in 2012.
That's the same Olympics, yeah.
Yeah.
That's savage.
Didn't win a gold medal, though.
You weren't far off. You weren't far off.
Thank you, mate.
Only Olympian in the room.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Yeah.
Keep it serious.
Me and Rick didn't try that.
We didn't try. Should we do some questions?
Yeah, we should.
Right. Blair, don't know where he's from. My girlfriend Isla is a huge fan of your content, and she's made her first marathon this month in Edinburgh. Through her training, your podcast has kept her going on the long runs, and if you guys could wish her good luck, she'd be thrilled.
Best of luck. Edinburgh is coming up. I think it's not this weekend, but next weekend.
Is it hilly?
From what people have told me, apparently it's relatively flat. I know it was Anna's first marathon.
I think it is quite fat. I think it is quite flat and fast in that you start in Edinburgh and then you run out.
And you're out of town and you come back in.
Yeah. It looks like a good one. Fingers crossed for good weather because we are we're into May marathons where it's a bit more of a, is it going to be warm? But I'm sure you will absolutely smash it.
Oh, so Blair snuck this in with it as a question, but it's really just a request.
It is
so massive.
Yeah,
good luck wishes from all of us, Isla. Really exciting.
Top tips for first marathon. Should we just each give one thing?
Don't carry too much stuff.
Ooh. Oh,
yeah.
Do carry music if you've used it in training because the crowds won't necessarily always
carry
you through.
There'll be some empty spots. Mm. And 30K really is halfway. I didn't really believe that when people told me that. And then
did you get the crushing realization on race day?
I was like, there's only 12K to go, but that feels like the longest 12K of my life. So sort of be mentally prepared for that.
There's a slogan though. You can make a t-shirt there.
30K really is not halfway.
Yeah.
Rowan, again. Oh, well, I'm guessing, actually, we might know where he's from. As a beginner runner, I recently ran my first race at the Oxford Town and Gown 10K.
What a name. It's from Oxford.
Isn't that, yeah, it's quality. My chip time was 45.03, but Strava has recorded my 10K PB as 44.34 due to weaving through people, etc. Am I allowed to say that I've run a sub 45 minute 10K? Or is the chip time the true judge here? What's the correct etiquette? Whoa. This happened to me last week. It was my recorded race time, and I've never had this gap. Never anything near it. My recorded race time was 15 seconds slower than my Strava time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
15 seconds.
Yeah, I'm going to have to be. It's a straight no for me. It doesn't count.
So it's race time. It's race time.
Sorry.
It's race time.
Hey, at least have a little bit of heart.
I've got heart and sympathy for it.
Race time.
It's chip time. Whatever the final result is that you've been given by the race is the result.
Oh, Rowan.
I'm so sorry. That was a bit of a brutal.
But it is genuinely gutting.
That is quite a big difference. That's 30 seconds.
Yeah, but...
That's not unusual, breaking that 45-minute barrier.
In my marathon, like my watch ticked over to 26.2 miles quite a bit before the finish because of the fact you are weaving around people, but... I don't think you can claim it, I'm afraid.
However, if you want to look at that number and if it makes you feel better, I do that all the time in my marathon. I'll like click into it and be like, okay, yeah, the Strava title says this, but actually what did it record? Yeah. And I'm like, whoo! But I think my London marathon was actually 3:41 but my chip time is 3:44.
Really? Different?
If I'm having a bad day, I ran 3:41.
Well, so there you go. We're in different parties here. And I feel like I need to backtrack a little bit and say it's still an incredible effort. But I think whatever goes down.
But no.
Yeah. But it's a hard no from me.
Yeah. Oh, it's like the tips for going for the marathon. It's like one thing I learned after all the work we did around you, Sarah, at London is if I ever do get to run a marathon again, and people say, what time are you going to go for? I'm going to go for 5 minutes past an hour. Just any hour. Pick an hour. 4 hours, five. 5 hours, five. 6 hours, five.
Why? Because
I love the fact you went like, why? You're like, like you're actually physically disgusted by him.
Because you've got massive...
So unneat.
You've got bulky groups of people all going to come in just under the hour, but nobody ever goes for five past. So you've got clear space to run through. And then your chip time will be closer to the reality of the time that's on your watch. So my... aim, if I ever do a marathon again, is to run 5 minutes past an hour.
Sarah and I are a bit like, aghast.
I'm like appalled.
But I can see it.
I kind of get the logic.
Rick Kelsey.
But then hang on, but like psychologically.
Yeah, you can remind me about this.
So hang on, psychologically, let's say you were going for 5 hours and 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You would aim for 5 hours and 5 minutes, but then hope that you would be closer to five.
No, I don't want to go under five. I want to do 5 hours, 5 minutes.
I wish I had that mentality.
Because I don't want to be under that hour. I don't want to be
in
the big group of people. I have no aim to get under five.
Yeah.
I just want to be in the chunk where there's some space. There's not a lot of people going under it. There's no intensity for
it. It's quite arbitrary, isn't it? When you do think about it. 4:59 is pretty
arbitrary. I'm going for five.
You know
past
what,
the hour.
Though? I reckon you would end up being a support network for all of the people who tried to break under the hour and then ended up drop back.
Lots do, but then oh my gosh, what is going on?
Andy somebody just else turned. Is. Somebody, I'm sorry.
Oh my, I genuinely feel a little bit uncomfortable.
So for context, what happened, Sarah?
That Rick usually does to wrap us up.
I feel like someone's just invaded my personal space, and that never happens.
Can we have a little bit of appreciation for the fact that when you do it, me and Andy carry on as if nothing's happened, and you've just noted the fact that he's moved his hand, you've just talked about it on the podcast, you've just completely broken down. We were having a lovely conversation together.
I was thinking to myself for the last couple of minutes, I was like, I wonder what will happen if I do this, and we've just found out.
Really, really uncomfortable.
34:57.
Yes.
34:58.
Sarah, have you got a favour to ask?
34:59. I have. I have got a favour to ask. My favour is, which marathon should we make Rick do to test out the theory?
Sorry, I just nearly choked on my own spit.
Lovely.
In order to self-fulfil this prophecy that you've just talked about, because I would actually love to see you get something and plan 5 minutes.
The absolute shock on both of your faces that I've told you this. I mean, Andy's, I feel like he took it in. You're just kind of like, you just don't get it.
I don't get it.
I feel like this is now an ick for Sarah. She's like,
it is a bit of an ick. Yeah.
Honestly, I thought about it so much during your all the shows we did for you.
Wow.
Why is that said with an air of all that stuff we did and for you that we had to...
We did though, didn't we?
We did drivel on a lot about Sarah.
Yeah.
And imagine all the chats we had to have off air as well. Oh my goodness.
But yeah, go for the 5 past the hour. Pick an hour. 5 past.
I don't think that's what he's.
I don't think you just pick an hour.
You also don't say 5 past, do you? Like, what time did you run for a marathon, Rick? I ran 5 past 5.
I really like that. I ran 5 past an hour.
What marathon are you? I'm a 5 past 3.
My youngest
this
is learning.
She's got legs.
I'm a 5 past 4.
I'm a five past five.
Does it work? So people who wanted to go under, because then it doesn't work for anything else. Because if you wanted to go like under 350, there are also people who want to go under 355. So it's really only that niche.
It's not that common. Honestly, most
it's
people.
It's not that common. Sorry. How many marathons have you run?
Same
one. How many marathons have you watched?
Many.
How many marathons have you managed to get up in time to watch?
Have I talked about? Most people will tell you they're going for sub 4, sub 5, sub 3, sub 3:30, sub 4:30. It's either the top of the hour or 1:30. They're basically trying to get. So I am giving you the new rule of marathon running. Go for the sub 5 past the hour.
It just feels like my youngest, who's learning to tell the time at the moment. and he looks at the clock's hands and he's like, oh, daddy, it's 8 to 7. I'm like, okay. I mean, that's just the two numbers that the hands are pointing to. There you go. Just a summary. He's 3. Pretty much on the same intellectual and emotional maturity level as Rick Kelsey.
Trying to work out what would 8 to 7 be. Is 8 the big hand or the little hand?
I think he has
that 25.
Right. I think he makes it up.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
After we've listened to you waffle on for 5 or 6 minutes about this nonsense marathon target time, and now you're going to wrap us up.
Absolutely not nonsense. It's got legs because it helps people with the psychological pressure that comes with running a marathon.
And like I said, email in podcast@therunningchannel.com if you want to see this psychological
pressure
hack be played out in real time by Rick Kelsey at a marathon of your choice. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
This episode was sponsored by Kiprun and their brand new shoe, the KD900X LD.
Now, we've mentioned that this goes through lots of rigorous testing, and one place that it's also been tested is at 42 House, which is a brand new project from Kiprun where they have incredible athletes out training in Kenya, and our very own Mo and James went out there to visit earlier this year.
Yeah, in E10, where I have trained back in the day when I used to be a professional runner. Have I ever told you that?
Never.
No, I never talk about it. It's an incredible place. It's where so many incredible runners have been shaped in that region. And so it's logical that if you want to make some of the best super shoes in the world and you want them to be worn on some of the best marathon runners in the world, you take it to what a lot of people consider to be the home of running.
Yeah, I love the fact that James, when he brought his KD900 XLD shoes back to the UK, they were covered in iconic red dust from running on the trails. If you want to check out these shoes, then head to decathlon.com. They're also available in Decathlon stores worldwide.
So we're making Sarah run a marathon in Malaga.
Brilliant. This episode was sponsored by us, which Andy forgot to say.
Yeah.
And apparently I'm running a marathon. I mean, hey, if enough of you want me to do it, I suppose I could.
Or the half marathon, and we need to get something that gets Rick out of bed. We want you to come to Malaga with us. Half marathon or marathon. We've teamed up with Sports Stores International. It's an amazing place to go. The weather will hopefully be really nice, certainly better than the UK weather in the middle of December. So it's a chance to come and be with the Running Channel and other runners from the Running Channel, which are all lovely people, I can promise that. And then we get to spend a few days together, be looked after by Sports Stores International, run a marathon or a half marathon, and then party and listen to us waffle on the podcast.
I think that'll be the bit that Rick's good at. I think what we're going to struggle with is getting him to put down a glass of Gavi long enough to be able to run a half marathon. But hey, stranger things have happened. So if you want to find out more info, head to the link in the show notes or go to trc.social/Malaga.